morning. I'm fine. That sunshine is coming up.
Yeah, sit in your window today because I don't know if you want to be out in that wind blowing around. It looks nicer than it's going to be. And, Marty, we've got a busy night. We've got a busy day. We've got busy everything going on. Obviously, City Council meets tonight at 6:30. But before we get started, I wanted to mention a meeting that's going on tonight as well. Veteran Health Indiana, anchored by the Richard L. Rodebush VA Medical Center in Indianapolis, is holding a veteran town hall meeting tonight at the Monroe County Courthouse, 100 West Kirkwood Avenue. Everybody knows where the courthouse is. Beginning at 5 p.m., veterans, veteran families, community supporters, everybody is welcome to attend. And this town hall meeting offers veterans and the public the opportunity to support veteran health care through engagement with VA leadership. Veterans currently not enrolled in VA healthcare will have the opportunity to do so at this meeting. So we wanted to make sure we got that message out to everybody this morning as well.
Right. We have such a great Veterans Administration department right here in Monroe County, and we extended the hours for that office, and we've just had a lot of good positive feedback with that leadership there. So we're just happy that our veterans are being well served here in Monroe County, as well as it's not just Monroe County. All veterans would be absolutely welcome to attend this meeting and to see what kind of services that are offered here in the office.
Yeah, and if you know somebody that's not signed up, get them signed up. 5 p.m. at the Monroe County Courthouse. That's tonight.
And
tonight.
Is it that in the main meeting room up in the on the third floor?
The Matt Hill meeting room. Right?
Yes. Okay. Well, that's not been stated through this whole thing, so I just wanted to make sure people understood that.
And there is an elevator there.
That's
for
right.
Those people who are concerned about the steps, et cetera. So that's an important meeting for so many of our veterans. You know, we have another meeting coming up that I don't think you have on your schedule that is just now being advertised, and it's March 28th. From 12 until 1:30 in the meeting room. It's noticed as a public meeting because it's going to be some of the county elected officials meeting with some of the employees, and that will be held on Tuesday, March 28th, from 12 until 1:30. And that's to review with those employees and the other elected officials, department heads, to review the City of Bloomington's proposed annexation. And so I'm sure there's concerns, and some of those concerns about how it's going to affect the departments is being funneled back to the county commissioners and others. So there'll be an opportunity for people to air their concerns or to learn of new information. Not everybody is going to go to these meetings that's set up at the city. And actually, the meetings that's set up at the city, the informational, it's not like a public hall kind of meeting. It's all set up in different stations, different areas is being annexed with information on each of those areas. And so someone wanting to know about a specific area can go to these meetings at City Hall and go and look at the maps and look at some of the other information that's been provided. Now, that is all pretty much online anyway, but not everybody does the online information. So it's important for those people who have not really studied the maps or studied how it's going to affect them. That gives them an opportunity to do that. I will say that on Friday, the information came out, I think it came out on Friday, having to do with the fiscal plan and for the city's changes in the fiscal plan. And when you start reviewing that, on page 102, it's very clear.
You've gotten to page 102. That's good.
Page 102, and yes, many of us have looked at every one of those pages. But at the bottom of page 102, and I'm trying to scroll to it so I can be very specific and not be making up stories here, but they make it clear that, I won't say exactly how they said it, but, you know, if they're short on revenue, well, they can just raise the income tax. Remember that the city is in total control of that income tax because they had total votes. And at the bottom of page 102, if I can get to it here, it's talking about how our income tax is, our tax rate is not as high as some of the tax rates in other localities, other counties. But as a reminder, those other counties that are much higher than our income tax, that's because they put in a huge amount of that for property tax relief. The state had it set up that said, okay, counties, those of you who are having trouble because you're hitting the circuit breakers, because your assessed value on all that property is not growing as fast as you need it to, so you can provide whatever you need to provide the services, we'll let you raise your income tax. But if you do that, you have to raise it and say it is to reduce your property taxes. And so many counties throughout the state did that. So that's why their income tax rates are so much higher than ours, because we did not do that. We have a very small property tax replacement amount that's come off of the top since the beginning of the income tax back in the 80s, but nothing like what the other counties have put in place. So we should be very cautious when we are saying, well, we're the 33rd lowest. Now I'm reading from their document that says that our income tax rate is the 33rd lowest in the state. Well, and that's because we're not using it, that huge chunk of it, a percentage of it.
But,
to
Marty, isn't
the
there
tax.
Something like 90 counties in the state?
92.
Okay, so if there's 92, we're still in the top third.
That's one way of doing
we're
the
in
math.
We're in the lowest.
Lower third, bottom third.
Lowest. But the ones that are much higher, let us remember, some of those, because there was different, there was things called Cadjet counties and Coy counties, and they adjusted gross income tax. Counties did things differently, and the EDIT counties, that's economic development counties. So they did things different. And in some of those areas, they used a large portion of that tax for their schools. Well, we didn't do that. So, they're leaving out that part of the equation on that. But the thing that I want our listeners to understand is the next statement that's on here says, a lower rate, and that's the income tax rate, of approximately 0.1% would replace the revenue loss net of service level reductions from annexation. Now, they may be saying, well, we'll just raise the income tax and everybody else is being affected, all the other taxing units. That'll help them out some. Remember that money raised for the income tax, the lion's share of it goes to the city. So perhaps that's what they're looking at when they're saying, well, it looks like as if maybe we're not going to be drawing in enough money to provide the services we said we could. And if some of our projections don't work out just right, we'll just raise the income tax. It's there. I mean, I didn't put that note on there. It's in there. So that's from there.
Well, should that be surprising?
I beg your pardon?
Should that be surprising?
Well, no, because I've been saying all along that, and this would probably be in addition to that, I know that in conversation with the mayor, his indication was, well, it would be essential to have a new tax revenue stream coming in to cover Bloomington Transit. In order to provide services to these areas. So they're certainly not saying, well, we're going to come out there and pull in more of your property tax and be able to provide the Bloomington Transit to all the areas. They're saying when it is possible. And in order to make it possible, and this is pretty much what I understood him to say, then they needed something to happen at the state or some other method to bring in additional dollars. So the fiscal plan being presented, while it can be very specific, and there's many, many pages here to review, but I think this one paragraph at the bottom of page 102 says a whole lot that, well, it looks like as if,
they
can replace a revenue loss with
additional income tax. And so, Marty, just so that someone like me, who's obviously math challenged this morning, can get some clarification, right now, with that in mind, how high can they raise our income tax?
Oh, well, there is a cutoff at this point as to how high it can be raised, but it could be,
Could the current rate be doubled?
More. It could go up quite a bit more.
Could it be doubled or tripled?
Thank you for the question, and I should have had that answer, but I don't know.
Okay, well, that's something that maybe we could talk about next week. But I guess, you know, where I'm coming from in thinking about our taxes here is that you can't just isolate the income tax. You can't just isolate your property taxes. It is an overall number. People aren't just paying one of these taxes.
The important thing here, and where you're seeing a loss in the school districts, is it's not so much from the circuit breaker loss as the, we all pay taxes, excise taxes, when we're getting our license and whatever our license. And so certain percentages of taxes go to the other taxing units. Distributed to other taxing units, and so our schools are losing a large amount of money through the reduction in the amount of taxes they'll receive through that. And that makes a big difference to the schools. Now, I was hopeful in that Senate Bill 85 that that the redevelopment commissions could cover transportation costs for the schools, which is where they're having a problem, as we already know. We've already seen that happen with both of our school systems here, being short on transportation dollars. And there was Senate Bill 85 was saying that the redevelopment commissions could take money out of that pot of money in those tax increment finance areas and be able to provide transportation expenses to our school system, as well as the Bloomington Transit. But I certainly would think that that wouldn't be the way we should go, but that we could help out the schools, because the schools are receiving less money having to do with the TIF, because their capital projects funds are tied totally to the total.
Well, how do they replace that money? They can't raise.
I'm sorry?
How do they raise that money that's going to be the differentiator there? If they don't get that money anymore from where you're talking about, from the TIFs and everything else, where does the schools get that money?
Then they have to start doing what the school system just did here a while ago and ask for additional tax dollars that way, right?
Well, remember that the capital projects fund is tied to a tax rate, and that's for the schools.
Right.
And so that rate goes times all of the assessed value that they get to use for their school district. Well, if a lot of that assessed value is being captured by these TIFs, then that rate is times a lesser amount of assessed value. Then if they're having to pull from that capital projects rate to try to fund some of these other things, then there's less and less money for capital projects, which then forces them many times into trying to bond for things that they might have been able to cover with capital projects.
So they'll just have
to go. I'm not a school expert on financing. I am just very concerned about our Richland TIF. I do not believe, at least I suspect, that there might have been a greater thought about whether or not to extend the lifespan of that TIF had they known that the city was going to be coming out there and annexing it. So more than 60% of every dollar that is being spent out of that TIF is tied to our Richland and Bean Blossom school system.
How much?
And so therefore, we are in Richland and Bean Blossom subsidizing what's going to be infrastructure for the city. Now, I understand you have to look at the overall picture and what's best for everybody, and we do have to have this infrastructure put in place. It's just, it would be my hope that there would be negotiation with the city that says, if you want us to take money from this Westside TIF fund and continue to improve the infrastructure over here on the west side, you will help out so that we can reduce the amount of reliability on those Richland Bean Blossom taxpayers. And I suppose I am the only one who's going to make that argument. But then if I don't, who is going to? I mean,
Marty,
not be an understanding how much it affects our Richland Bean Blossom. And add on to that, the people within, all those businesses within that TIF, whether it be Cooks or Baxter's or whoever, they're paying that higher tax rate too, because they're paying that for the school taxes. It just doesn't go to the school. It goes into the TIF. So if that total overall reliance was reduced so that assessed value could be thrown over there with the rest of Richland Township, that would reduce that rate, not just for everybody else, but would reduce it for Cooks and for Baxter and so forth. So it is a balancing act. And that has to be, it seems to me, at least considered, that it would be, you know, hopefully we're not 10 years from now still paying over here on the west side all these additional taxes and all of it going toward improving the city streets, which the city, if they do annex as much as they're saying, that infrastructure is going for the city infrastructure. So all of that being said, one of the things that the county does, because we're obligated to do it, that's what we do, is we provide for bridge for anything that's over 20 feet in span, whether you're in the city or out of the city. And so our next meeting will be talking about all of the bridge repairs and culvert repairs with our highway department and how that's all going to work and where those locations will be for bridge repairs. Remember, so that's the highway department. Remember our health department. We provide health department services and food inspection services support throughout the county, whether you're in the city or out of the city. The city does not have a health department. I don't see anything in their plan that they plan to have one. Right now, they don't have a building inspection department.
Do you have to have those, Marty? Do you have to have them? Do you have to have? Does the county have to have them by legislation?
We have a health department. Yes, we're supposed to have a health department, and that is sponsored and paid for with local property taxes.
And it is required by the state.
Everybody throughout the county pays it, whether you're in the city or out of the city. But
I guess
because everybody pays county tax.
Well, that my point was, is it required by Indiana state legislation that you have to have a health department?
Well, you know,
I asked you another question. You don't know
that, but I don't know of any county that doesn't have one.
Well,
I'm
not disagreeing with you, but you know, if you guys decide to close it down, my guess is the city might see a need to put one in place.
Well, we would still have to have one for out in the county, because we do a whole lot more than just restaurant inspections. I mean, they do.
Well, maybe you could just drop that part of it.
I mean, the list of what the health department does is huge.
What you do is you drop the health department inspections of restaurants inside the city.
Well,
I mean, there has got to be a limit of what you can afford to do.
Clearly, this is all a part of what the city and county should be negotiating.
Of course, it should be.
But to be very clear about this, I don't think anyone is saying there should be no annexation. We all know that annexations happen with cities and with, I mean, Ellisville annexes, Bloomington annexes. We all understand that. There's just a lot of us who think they should slow down the process so we can understand exactly where the dollars are moving from, and that they should scale way back the amount of area they're talking about annexing.
And there's
that's what my hope would be.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in with us every Wednesday. And Marty, there's multiple ways to have your voice heard. You can do it online at the city of Bloomington at bloomington.in.gov/annex. You can put your comments electronically there. The city is having meetings today and tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in council chambers. There is also a city council meeting tonight at 6:30 in council chambers. Also, folks from area number one, they have a chance today, tomorrow, and Friday at the Van Buren Township Fire Department, 2130 South Kirby Road. Area 1 residents are welcome to sign a petition over there. And just let me note, while petitions serve as a way to show residents opposition to the proposal, it is not the formal process to oppose annexation. The formal process, known as a remonstrance petition, cannot officially begin until the City Council approves annexing one, all, or some of the combination of the seven areas proposed. You can sign the petition, though, Marty, because those folks don't have any city representation right now, and those can be presented to the council as public information, for lack of a better word.
Right, and I think that when the city council sees that there's a large number of citizens out in the hinterlands that are saying, I am concerned, here's my concerns, this is something I don't want to have happen. And especially in those areas where they've got the right percentage of people that are signing that are saying, not my land, not my backyard, then it really will slow down the process for those people, and hopefully the city council will take heed of that. Now, there's some areas that looks as if that's going to be very difficult to hit that number so that a remonstrance number could be reached. But it may very well be that the city council will say, I'm looking at what the people want, what the concerns are, especially with the fire departments, and just about whether or not we can actually provide the services. Can the city actually provide all these services that they're promising out to the people out in the county that they plan to annex in? So it will be an interesting few weeks.
It always should be.
Well, Marty, right. Thank you, and I appreciate you putting up with my questions, and we will.
No,
you can have some answers for some of that.
Right,
you know?
Because I think that's
important. Love to know how much our income tax could go up. I think a lot of people would.
Well, and I have that memory in my memory bank someplace. I'll just have to pull it up. And
that's your homework for next Wednesday.
It's quite a bit more than it could go up because of the other. What I know the other counties have done. But, as I said, they have used it for property tax relief, not for additional spending, because they reduced the reliance on property tax and put it over into income tax. So
it's not an
that's
addition.
That's what other
it's a
counties
switcher.
Have done.
Yeah.
We did not do that to that extent.
Gotcha. All right, Marty, good stuff as always. The veterans meeting tonight, 5 o'clock at the Monroe County Courthouse in the Nat Hill meeting room there on floor number 3. City Council meeting tonight, 6:30. When's your next meeting? Next Tuesday? Does that sound right?
Okay. Is there any other question I don't have the answer to? Let me see.
It is next.
Yes, it would be next Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good. I just want to make sure that everybody has a chance to get out and make their voices heard.
You have a nice day, Marty.
Thanks, Marty.
Thank you so much.
You as well.